Ministry of Public Health in collaboration with WHO and UNICEF. But it is an official North Korean Ministry of Public Health document. And it is essentially the health plan for the country. If they have a health plan, this is it. There are basically five-year strategies on what we need to do in order to improve the health of the people of North Korea. They have a vision statement here. It says improved health of the population through enhanced access to higher quality health care services. Higher quality. So they recognize they need to improve the quality of their health care services. How are they going to get there? Our point, and they will say this themselves, is we've got to update the medical education system in order to improve obtain higher quality healthcare services. Again, they list in this document put out by the North Korean Ministry of Public Health several strategic areas: communicable disease, non-communicable disease, maternal child health is always a big thing, improved quality of healthcare services, and I'm going to talk about that, development of medical science and technology, improved medicines and medical supplies, health systems, social determinants of health. So these are the eight strategies for this five-year period that they're going to emphasize. Now, if you go to strategy number four, improved quality of health services, they list these focus areas here. Patient safety and hospital infection, improved specialized medical care, section doctor system, integration of modern and traditional medicine, telemedicine system, and emergency health services. So these are the focus areas under the strategic area four that they are pushing. Now, the rest of the time I want to talk about, in order to accomplish these improvements in the quality of medical services, they need to update their medical education system. And we'll get Dr. Park's opinion on that also. So let's take real quick a look at the medical education system in North Korea. We'll look at it quickly. And this data all comes from the WHO Non-Communicable Disease Progress Monitor report here. There are about 200 training institutes all over the country for various things. There's 66 nursing and midwifery schools and different x-ray and technician schools. And as Dr. Park pointed out, all of these institutions are under-resourced. They're very much under-resourced. And there's a high turnover after the training. And so now this is one of the slides I want to spend a few moments on. This is what does medical education look like in terms of how it's gone about in the country. Now, the thing I want you to remember, these are not my opinions. I agree with them, but these are not my opinions. All of these come out of this North Korean Ministry of Public Health document. It is what they said. So the first thing they said, in their medical education system, there's a focus on knowledge acquisition rather than skill acquisition and competency. In other words, it's book knowledge. It's book knowledge. I'll give you an example. We at the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology Dental School, we have a postgraduate program. Now so we have currently five second-year postgraduate dental students. They've been to school 6 or 7 years in dental school in North Korea. When they come to us for a three-year master's program, which we would really call a residency program, for the most part, they haven't seen a patient. It is all book knowledge. They have very little knowledge of really how to pull teeth or to fill cavities, or they've never given an injection of lidocaine or an anesthetic. And so that when they come to us, it's the first time they've ever done that. So again, the emphasis is on knowledge acquisition. It's book knowledge. All right, there's an emphasis on memorization, not critical thinking and problem solving. You see that over and over. There's lack of competency in evidence-based diagnostics and treatment practice. There's outdated pedagogic methodologies. I've sat in on some of the lectures. The lecturer comes in, he stands in the front of the class, for an hour. He gives a strong lecture. There's no time for questions. There's no conversation. And he's finished. He walks out. The students have been writing down, and they memorize the data that he's presented with them. Lack of modern medical equipment, supplies, and medications from which to learn new diagnostic and treatment methods. And I'm sure Dr. Park has seen that. Now, the quality of training is outdated due to lack of exposure to international and standards and practice. Does not meet the needs of the current plan improvements for the healthcare system. Now, again, these are not my words. These come out of the North Korean document from the Ministry of Public Health. And so at Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, in the medical, developing the medical curriculum, we are looking at these problems and trying to address them. To go on in this document, talks about what are the plans. They have plans to develop a master's degree program, improve the teaching style, assess staff competency. There are really no board examinations as such to measure the level of competency, say even in surgery or different things. And so there's no assessment of the competency of, say, a surgeon or what have you. There's no assessment of the quality of service delivery. Are they doing a good job? Are they getting good results? They need to update their pedagogic skills. Update the training centers nationwide. Again, now, these are not my words. This comes out of the North Korean document itself, okay? All right, so to accomplish all this improvement in the medical education system and in the healthcare system itself, we all agree that there's a need then to improve and increase the quality of medical education itself. So what are we going to do? Now enter the Division of Medical Sciences of the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology. The North Korean Ministry of Public Health several years ago recognized all this. They approached the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, which is the only independent university in all of North Korea, totally funded from the outside, and they approached us about helping them update the medical education system. And actually, went the wrong way. So in May of 21st, 2014, we had the groundbreaking ceremony at POOST for the new Division of Medical Science building. And these are a lot of the dignitaries. I think the chancellor's in here somewhere. My wife and I are way over there on the far right, and there's President Kim, the president at that time of the university. So that was 2014 when I was there on the faculty, and we had the groundbreaking ceremonies. All right, as I mentioned, they're going to open, or they gave us permission to open schools of public health, dentistry, medicine, nursing, and pharmacy. All right, so we've put together almost total American heads of departments. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But Dr. Moses Kong is the Vice President for the Division of Medical Science. He's Korean-American from Los Angeles. David Rowe is a nephrologist currently in Denver, Colorado. He's the Dean of the College of Medicine. Brian Lee is the Dean of the College of Dentistry. And by the way, I'll talk about this. Dentistry school is doing great. He's from Los Angeles. Soonmo Park is the Dean of the College of Public Health, and I am the Graduate Research Dean and Dean of the College of Pharmacy, although we don't have a College of Pharmacy yet. And College of Nursing currently is vacant. Now here is the architect's picture of what the new Division of Medical Science building ought to look like. And then this is a picture that was sent to me last fall. You can see they were almost completely on the outside, but it's pretty much remains that right now because of all the sanctions and the executive orders and travel ban. This hasn't progressed beyond what you're looking at there right now. So, all right. So what are we doing at POOST in the Division of Medical Sciences to try and look at the problems related to the medical education system and what are the things we want to incorporate in our curriculum. So the ultimate goal, to improve the quality of healthcare education that will result in improved quality of healthcare services for all the people of the DPRK. We're going to teach basic knowledge, of course. Basic sciences are fundamental. They must have that. But in addition to basic sciences, we are going to emphasize skill and competency acquisition. So I think that's essential. Critical thinking and problem solving are going to be introduced. This is largely unknown in their system. Evidence-based diagnostic and treatment methods will be taught. Team-based healthcare, where you work as a team to follow a patient and follow up. And again, almost unknown in North Korea. We're going to use modern pedagogic methods, problem-based learning, problem-solving, Socratic method, questions and answers, small group learning, clinical teaching, case presentations, journal club, interpretation of clinical studies, online learning, etc. These things, for the most part, are not used in their medical education program, and so we want to emphasize that. We're going to introduce international standards of practice, promote relevant, and underline relevant research. I've seen a lot of research. Most of it is not very relevant, though. Collaborate with national and international researchers. And then, of course, collaborate with WHO, UNICEF, DPRK, Ministry of Public Health, and other NGOs in addressing the DPRK health and educational needs. So this is our basic way we're going to approach developing the curriculum for all of the medically related schools in the Division of Medical Sciences. There's a picture taken, actually, this time last year in Pyongyang, in the dental clinic. That's myself and my wife on the far right there. My wife is an English teacher. Next, that's Dr. Brian Lee, the dean of the dental school. And then kind of here in the middle, we have the five dental postgraduate dental students, and then two British dentists and an American nurse there that works in the clinic. This is a very sophisticated, very modern medical dental clinic, and they're doing really a great job with it. Here is an example of these are the five second-year students. This is a postgraduate three-year master's program in small group learning, a completely new innovation for them. I taught these same students clinical pharmacology when I was there, and I would make them do a case presentation, stand up and present a case, and let the other students and other faculty ask questions, use a somewhat of a Socratic method of learning. This was all new for them. They didn't like it at first. They told me, just stand up here and lecture. We don't want to do all this other stuff. But at the end, they finally said, you know, I think we're learning, and we retain it better when you do it like this. And so I think we made a little bit of progress there anyway. These are some of, I've mentioned the dental school is up and going fairly well. It's very small classes, just about five in each of the first 2 year classes. The medical school is, as you can imagine, with the travel ban and everything, is really hurting right now. These are some undergraduate medical students, along with two British physicians who were there last fall filling in for us because American doctors could not go there. So we're hoping to get back on track there. So the Division of Medical Sciences, as it looks at the curriculum, and what we're going to try and do in North Korea is around these three words: equipping, educating, empowering. So our mission statement is this: to benefit the people of the DPRK by equipping, educating, and empowering future DPRK health leaders. And that's the thing we're trying to do. And we're working very hard to develop this curriculum that will answer the question of the need for updating the medical education system in the DPRK. And with that, I'll quit, and maybe we can open it up for questions now. Or?
Yes, let's have some questions and answers. To start off, I have two questions I would like to ask Dr. Park and Dr. Sands. The first one is something that I've noticed. In North Korea, they don't have as good access to information as you'd want them to. So for doctors and nurses in North Korea, if they want to be up to date, they have to have access to current events, the most developed information. And I was wondering if you saw any improvements in that in North Korea.
Saw any what?
Like, I think if you have to be a doctor or a nurse in North Korea, you probably have to have the most up-to-date information on medical procedures or new diseases or whatever. I'm wondering if you seen any improvement in access to information.
So as I mentioned, there's no internet. They have an intranet system. It's highly controlled by the government in that the content is restricted. A lot of it is Chinese literature. So they have that. They have the National Library. I think we have seen U.S. medical textbooks, and also Pyongyang University College of Medicine. I've been to their library, and they also have U.S. and Western textbooks there. I'm not sure what system is used to access the information. And the other thing I will mention is that every year we attend the annual medical symposium for Koreans, overseas Koreans, along with the North Korean doctors. And we get to see sort of their latest in research. So that gives you an idea of, you know, how cutting edge they are. And some of the things that I've seen, they have synthesized a human growth hormone on their own. They have developed an artificial knee and implanted it, and then showed us a series of it. And they actually have developed their own ultrasound machine and a functional CAT scanner. So it gives you an idea of, you know, if they want to do something, that they certainly can do it. You know, but the caveat is they don't have access to the latest guidelines and treatment modalities that we have.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think my experience with them is that they are very bright, very sharp. They want to learn. They ask good questions, and they're anxious to learn new techniques. They just don't have access to modern techniques and, for the most part, and modern information. Even as he mentioned in the library, yes, they have some of the journals, but you have to look at it there. You can't take the journal with you or take it home or copy it or anything. It has to be observed there. So there are certain restrictions on that.
And one more question. It's a question many people in DC probably have. Trying to phrase this correctly. The point is, many people are worried that healthcare services might be helping North Korean military, and why would we want to help the North Korean military?
You want me to tackle that one first?
You can go first.
Well, I was talking a little bit to our student from Jordan before we started. This is a moral dilemma that all faculty, I think, at Pyongyang University of Science and Technology face. The kind of a moral hazard or a moral dilemma. Are you, by what you're doing, helping to sustain an, quote, evil government, you know? And you struggle with that. You struggle with that. But I think my answer has always been, I'm there to help these very bright, and they're very bright students, help these very bright students think a little differently, think a little bit outside the box, and maybe change their worldview a little bit. Because I'm convinced that some of these students at PUST, at the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, are among the future leaders of the country. These are the elite students. So among them, some are going to be the future leaders of the country. So if we can influence them a little bit, I think that outweighs the potential negative, personally.
Yeah. So there's a project that I think you alluded to where North Koreans, the access to emergency cesarean sections was expanded. That was directly through funding from South Korea. Almost $50 million over several years. It was the very brainchild of a previous WHO DG, who was actually South Korean, Lee Jong-won, who passed away. And that program ended just 3 or 4 years ago. The reason that program got what it did, which had to do with maternal and child health. And it's because politically in South Korea, as you know, there's division, right? There's political division. And there's this criticism that if you provide, let's say, surgical care, that it could potentially benefit the soldiers. So you see this all the time. And even now, even humanitarian aid, you know, is propping up the regime. I have two responses to that, specifically on healthcare assistance and assisting the military. Number one, the Geneva Convention says, as healthcare workers, we treat all injured, no matter which flag they carry. We don't make that distinction. And to make that distinction politically, that's, for us, at least for me, it just doesn't make any sense. We never made that. You know, someone is hurt, who's diseased, they get treated first, and then they get they get executed or something like that. That's up to the government. Number one, so it's against the Geneva Convention, number one. And then number two is that the military is a million soldiers. They're kids. They're like you sitting in the room. I have seen cases where we went up to Baekdusan and we had food that we had packed and we couldn't finish it. So we sort of left it and a soldier boy came and grabbed it. And 5 minutes later, 10 more soldiers showed up out of the bushes and they wanted whatever we had left over. They were starving. And I saw this firsthand. And you know about the soldier that defected across the DMZ, they operate on him. He was full of intestinal worms. These are soldiers. So let them eat. You know, let's give them some health aid. Let's give them some food. These are just children, you know, and people like you and me. So you can't just say that is propping up and strengthening the military.
Yeah. That was a very good answer. Thank you, Dr. Park and Dr. Sims. Okay, let's have questions and answers. That guy in the back.
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Sands. Thank you for coming up. My name is Frank Cashmore. I'm an undergraduate student here at the LA School. I just have two questions. The first question being, as Americans, ensure that you had a government-assigned minder to follow you around and to make sure that you weren't saying anything that the regime would take issue with. So my first question is, were there any topics of conversation that you couldn't broach? And do you have any experiences of where you might have gotten close to the line where your minder advised you to not continue a certain line of discussion? And my second question, which Dr. Park, you started to talk about, is can you talk about your experiences outside of Pyongyang into the North Korean hinterland of some of the most egregious health problems that you might have encountered? Thank you.
All right, let me address the first question. We do have minders watching us most of the time. In the classroom, you actually have a monitor, one of the students who monitors what goes on in the conversation. And if anything is said inappropriately, he reports that. And so you can get in trouble depending on what you say. In my experience, there are two things that you don't talk about. One is politics. And the other is religion. You don't talk about, I don't think I mentioned that all classes are taught in English, by the way, at this university. Yes, there are sometimes the students themselves will have a question for you that you have to be careful how you answer it. And you don't know whether you're trying to be set up to say something wrong. I don't think that happens a lot, but I think you do have to be very careful how you answer the question. For example, usually at the meal times, you eat together with the students, actually, at a table with four. And there'll be two students who will sit down with my wife and I, and they we will, of course, they want to practice their English and everything, but they are asking questions. And sometimes their questions, you have to be very careful how you answer. I don't think that my wife or I ever got in trouble with any of our answers, but we have had faculty who occasionally do get in a little trouble. And I think at one time, and our chancellor of the university is right here, can verify this, but I think it's several years ago, there was a faculty member who was asked to leave as a result of some things.
Great. Yeah. Is this on record or?
No.
Is off record?
You want it on record, right? Yes, on record.
If it's on record, then I can talk to whoever asked the question afterwards,
okay.
Private. I'll tell you, let's see. We don't work, we visited one hospital outside of Pyongyang. That was at the Wonsan Provincial Hospital. And when we got there, it took us forever to get there. That's that highway across the country. The director of the hospital said, you can't come in. Even though we had permission from the Minister of Health, he said, we don't want you to come in here. That was the only time we were able to, we tried to go outside of Pyongyang. So we bring in specialists and small numbers, so we concentrate on Pyongyang hospitals. I don't know, I can tell you that like the Eugene Bell, Christian Friends of Korea, they work specifically at all these especially hospitals throughout the country. I'm not the right person to ask that question, but and as far as the interacting with minders, I'll tell you after.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a question. Maybe the person in the very back.
So you spoke a lot about education. I was wondering if you could discuss like generally access to healthcare in North Korea. So how easy is it for like an average Korean citizen to get access to health care?
As I mentioned, on paper, there's a tremendous